at you, brothers and sisters who came to church to hear the word of God this morning. Hallelujah. Wish you all a smooth foot. Are we ready to pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Be seated and have a good time in the Lord. Welcome to Second Congregational. Give us some praise this morning. Come on, here. He's already done about a dozen miracles for you today. Got you up this morning, got you dressed. You drove here. All them good things, amen? I was driving down Route 8, and those of you who might not know, I'm not the fastest driver in town. I was doing 65 on Route 8, and I was the only one in the right lane. Looked like NASCAR on the left lane. Everybody in a hurry. And there's always that one guy that wants to be in both lanes at once. And I looked and it wasn't Fred. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Look at everybody that came to hear the word this morning. Receive it this morning, amen? The message is walking in the Spirit, having the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. Say that with me, being filled with the Spirit. That's going to be the message. I pray that it touches you and moves you and wants you to have more. Right, Greg? My buddy Greg. We got to pray for his shoulder to get better. This responsive reading in the bulletin that Marilyn made for everybody. Praise God. I should say that to my wife once or twice. So Marilyn has a responsive reading, and I'm looking out and seeing all these beautiful people, and you can all read with me. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty." He lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters, who makes the clouds his chariot, who walks on the wings of the wind. Lay the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever. At your rebuke they fled, at the voice of your thunder they hastened away. You created all this for us, Lord. I love that. He lays the beams of his upper chamber in the waters, who makes the clouds his chariot, who walks on the wings of the wind. Can you imagine someday when we're with God and we're with Jesus, when we celebrate our graduation, that we can walk on the clouds and fly? You know, all the things we're going to be able to do with the glorified body that God's going to give us? Can you imagine that? I mean, just think about the things that you're going to be able to see and do. Hallelujah. And it's all because of who, church? Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. Well, Brother Frank, we do something at church. We have a quiz. I give a quiz every Sunday, and they're multiple choice. So just guess one if you don't know the answer. Or be like Jean. She guesses two out of three, thinking that she'll get it right. You know, we played their song Friday night. Jean and Walter were at the restaurant. You know, how many were at the jam, by the way, last Sunday? Wasn't that fun? It was a great Zippy. And Lily sang for the first time on stage ever. And you all know Rob. Everybody say hi to Rob. He'd come to church today. He lives in New York. But we had a great time. And they wanted me to sing some Elvis Presley. So I did, remember? The only thing was they said I didn't sing the right song. So Friday night at the restaurant, at the dinner club, I sang the song they wanted. Nothing changed. They didn't dance. They didn't get up and dance. Praise God. You're too far away. All right. I got some good questions today. some Bible questions today. Who appeared with Moses at the transfiguration? Who appeared with Moses at the transfiguration? Was it Abraham? Was it Elijah? Or was it the prophet Isaiah? How many think it was Abraham that appeared with Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration? How many say Elijah, the prophet? How many want to say the prophet Isaiah? Woo! Mark 9 says Elijah appeared with Jesus. And who else? There was one more, everybody?
Moses.
No. Sorry, Greg, it wasn't. It was Moses. Can you imagine James, Peter, and John seeing that? Can you imagine that? Isn't that awesome? When you read that, you got to see that they saw him in his glory. Hallelujah. Okay, Ruth's son Obed, O-B-E-D, became great-grandfather to whom? It's a trick question. Ruth's son Obed became great-grandfather to John the Baptist, to Solomon, or King David? Ruth's son Obed became great-grandfather to John the Baptist, anybody? How about Solomon, anybody? How about King David, anybody? Solomon. Solomon. Not Grant David. I didn't look. Did you get that right?
No.
You got it wrong? You thought it was David.
Well, we're all related, though.
Well, here's the thing. I didn't see. Did you say David? You said, I added great-grandfather, see, because that was the Bible says that Obed was David's grandfather. So I said, let's get a little tricky, see. I made that one up myself, see. See? Great-grandfather. Solomon, David had a son, what was his name? Solomon. You guys are good. I love when I do that. Put that one down, Mary. What did Paul ask the Colossians to pray for him about? Paul went to the Colossians and he needed prayer. What was it? For God to strengthen him in faith? For God would grant him boldness? Or God to open a door for him to speak? What did Paul ask the Colossians to pray for him about? How many think it was for God to strengthen his faith? Anybody? Anybody, God would grant him boldness? How about God to open a door for him to speak? You got it, Greg.
Finally.
Paul asked the Colossians to pray for him that God would open a door for him to speak.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I talked to Pat this week, Elder Pat and Tom, and she, you know, she loves to be an elder, but she said the pressure, it was hard on her. She just wants to be Pat. And I'm sure Elder Nancy understands that. But she's such a woman of faith and just a prayer warrior. And we were talking, and when God opens a door for you, it opens so wide that you just fall through it. When he closes the door for you, no matter what you do. And that's God. And I hope you've experienced that. Because when you start to experience life, you know, wherever you go, whatever you do, I know you don't think about God 24/7, and you don't read a book every 24/7. But in life, when you're doing something, you start thinking about God. When it happens, when you see it and realize that, hey, God closed that door, or he opened a door that nobody else, we prayed for Brother John. I'm truly believing that God heard our prayer. When he gets to his meeting later, he's going to understand the power of that prayer. But when he does things, when God thinks, they're great. Amen? They're great. Better than the week. What is the meaning of agape? Agape. Is it romantic love? Is it beloved of God? Or is it unconditional and perfect love? What is the meaning of agape? How many think it's that romantic love that we feel for each other? How many think it's beloved of God, agape? Or how many think it's unconditional and perfect love? God bless you all. And who gives that kind of love? God. God gives us agape love. And that's the kind of love that's hardest to give. When you're upset about things, upset at people, but you give that unconditional. Unconditional is a big word, amen? Hallelujah. How many know that's true? There's a group of people who meet on Sundays on the green in Southbury. They call it the Southbury Friendship Club or something. They have a name for it. It's beautiful. They prayed for people and they got signs and they all waved their signs. That's beautiful, I like that. And they had one sign that says, I choose love. You know, I don't want to be bold, but sometimes I want to go over and I want to say, you know what that means? Do you really know the depth? Do you really want to choose love? Really? Because love is a hard thing, amen? Love is unconditional. Love, you're supposed to love your who? Your enemies. You're supposed to love people who come against you. So when they say, I choose love, I want to walk over and say, well, I mean, are you sure? Are you sure you really want to put that out there for us? I don't know, just me, because love is beautiful. But in this book, when it tells you what love is, it makes you say, whew, maybe I better catch myself and work a little harder before I get that agape love. I got one more today, guys. On the cross, they put a sign, they nailed the sign that said, King of the Jews. In what language did they do it? Was it Hebrew, was it Latin, or was it Greek? On the cross, they nailed the sign over Jesus, King of the Jews. How many think they did it in Hebrew? I got any Hebrews? How many think it was Latin? Any Latin? How many think it was Greek? Any Greek? Where are the Hebrews? In what language did they put it? According to John 19? Hebrew. Latin. And Greek. They put it in all three languages over in his head.
Everybody was
right. Yvonne just said everybody was right. But if you look at it that way, Faith, everybody was wrong too. I thought that was a good one. I made that one up too. Hallelujah. I just love the word of God. Let's pray, Lord, that they accept this word today, that they receive this word today with joy, and they learn something today, the gold that we dig out, and they want to be filled with the Spirit of God. That's my prayer this morning. Hear my prayer, Lord, that they want to learn how to be filled with the Spirit of God. Hear our prayer. Ma'am? God praise.
Thank you. Good job. Look at how beautiful you guys are today.
Being filled with the Spirit of God. How many would like that in your life? How many truly would like that? When you're filled with the Spirit of God, it leads you to want to be in line with the Word of God. See, when you're filled with the Spirit, you want to be in line with the Word. Can I get an amen? This is a good amen party. But to be in line with the Word of God, what we have to do something. We have to understand what the Word is saying.
Amen.
Thank you. And when we understand what the Word is saying, with understanding comes wisdom.
Amen.
With wisdom comes blessings as we walk in the line with the Holy Spirit, not in feelings. Understand that. You want to be filled with the Spirit, then you have to walk in line with God, not with man. I mean, not with your pastor. Don't walk in line with me. Walk in line with God, with the Word. And in order to walk in line with the Word of God, you have to understand what the Word is saying. And with understanding comes wisdom. And here's the best part. With wisdom comes blessings as we walk in line with the Holy Spirit, not in feelings. How many know that God blesses you when you walk in the line, when you're walking in the Spirit? He's going to bless you. It is when we walk by feelings that we find ourselves struggling.
Amen.
Struggling with who, Pastor? With ourselves. And those around us, our family, our friends, our wife, our husband, our church life. You see, because you're walking by feelings. So the worst person that struggles when you walk by feelings is you. When you get out of the line of work, out of God's line, when you get out of that Spirit and you start walking by feelings, the person who's hurt the most is you. because you're going through things you don't need to. You get back in line with the Word of God, you see? With ourselves and those around us, our family. Remember this, please. This is about our spiritual life, our spiritual attitude, and this is about our walk with who, church? God. Thank you, Lord. So in Ephesians chapter 5, Gene, did you read it? Praise God. It says, therefore, Walter,
final word.
Be imitators of God as dear children. There's that child thing again, Miss Faith. You're going to like this. There's that child. Be imitators of God as dear children. One line. Be imitators of God. Not think about God. Don't admire God, not adore God, but do what? Be an imitator of God. Copy the behavior of who? God. See, that's when people read that, the imitator. Oh, I love God. I want to be like God. It doesn't say to be like God. It says to be imitators. That means, you know, people know that in the music business or another business. Frank will know when somebody imitates you, when the singer and they imitate you or some entertainer, some comedian does an impersonation of somebody, they say that's the highest form of flattery. When they think enough of you to imitate you. So it's the highest form of flattery that we imitate God, copy his behavior. Don't, you know, we all admire him, we all adore him. But God is saying one more thing. And then he says this, praise God, as dear children. There's that child thing again. And you know why he says children? Because children are the best imitators of all. Because they imitate their mother and their father, sometimes their brother and their sister. You'll see somebody who's just like his brother, or somebody just like his father, or somebody, a woman. How many know that to be true? You see, they see it, they realize it, and they want to be like them. So as children so easily imitate those around them, God is saying to be, and Paul is saying, be imitators of God. Just like that. You got a brother or sister, you understand that. You know, you got a father, my father played music, Frank's father played music. Guess what Frank plays? Music. See, we're imitators of the people. That's what it's all about. He does. And his father played drums too?
Trumpet.
And trumpet.
You see?
But the children, I got this wonderful text. I got a phone call first thanking me about talking about child being born with sin. How many of you remember we talked about that? That are we born with sin? And your pastor said, no, I don't believe that we're born with sin. And then somebody texted me, God bless you for playing with that. Saying when Adam, after Adam committed a sin, in the garden, and according to the book of Romans, Paul was saying that we're born with a sinful nature because of what Adam did. We're born with a sinful nature. I had to look that up. It's in our DNA. A sinful nature, amen? But if we have a sinful nature, it doesn't mean that we've done what? We haven't sinned yet. It's in our nature. Are we going to sin? Maybe. Probably. Yes. But we haven't yet. As little children. We haven't. See, we got that nature. It's going to happen. And what does Jesus say? Anybody that makes one of these little children stumble. And what's another word for stumble for me? Sin. You make this little child sin that has no, just because he's got the nature. You don't have to lead him down that road. It's better that a millstone be hung around your neck. You see, that little bit of time that we spent together confirmed what I've been preaching, what I feel, that we're not born with sin. We're born with a sinful nature because of Adam. Or Eve, depending on who you think. See, because you read about Jesus, And he loved the children. He loved them. He hugged them. He said that the kingdom of heaven was inside of them. The greatest inside of them. And then we read the psalm where he formed us in the womb. Amen? And he knew our inner parts. And he made us beautifully and beautifully perfectly. Why would he put sin inside of us? He put the nature because of Adam. But nature doesn't mean that we've committed to sin. Amen? It's simply in our DNA. And if it's your nature and you haven't sinned yet, you're not a sinner. Praise God. Speaking of which, this morning I heard on the news, it's probably not the best time to bring it up, but the World Health Organization wants to pass a law, pass a rule, that a woman can have abortion anytime she wants it. So just hang on to that and you pray for that. Or pray about that, not for that. Thank you, Lord. Okay. So therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Whew! Thank you. The highest form of flattery. And I wrote down, children are natural imitators, just like mom and dad, brother and sister. You want to do what your brother did. You want to go fishing like your brother. You want to wear your hair like your... That's what he's talking about. But we need to be imitators. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And I go down to chapter 8, verse 8. It says this. This is another one where you might miss. Sometimes I say you miss a word. Sometimes you put a word in. It says in verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk, ready, as children of light. Praise God. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. Who he's talking about? Talking about us. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me stop there. We were once darkness. What is the word not saying, Miss Jean? It doesn't say we were once in darkness. Understand that. It doesn't say we were once in darkness. What does it say? We were once
darkness.
So we were darkness. And now we're light. We are the light in the world. Say that with me. We are the light. Praise God. I said we didn't walk in darkness. We were. Say it with me. Darkness. Rob, I don't know. Everybody's here today, but I don't think they had a good breakfast. Praise God. So we were once sons and daughters of disobedience. And I wrote this for me. This is a little different sermon today because I wrote this for me. It's hard for me to look out from here and see that in any of you, that you were sons and daughters of disobedience. As I look at my church family, it's hard for me to see that you were once darkness and now that you're light, because I see you and I see your love and I see Jesus in you. So I have to remember that all this was before any of us knew God and wanted to follow God. You see, that's what I'm looking at. So it's hard for me to look out and say, you were all darkness. And I look at you and I say, I can't believe Art. Art was darkness. I just can't believe that. But God said before he knew him, before he followed God, that he was darkness. And now he's light. So I can see it best. Are you ready? I can see it best in me, in my life. So I'm sure it's the same way for you. You can see, I can see the darkness that I was, and I can see the light that God is bringing me to, the light that I want to be for him, the shining light. But I can see the darkness. Now here's the question. If someone you knew 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, came to see you today, would they recognize you? But they recognize you. Somebody knew 10 years ago, and they knew you 10 years ago. What you said, what you did 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. Would they recognize you?
No.
What would they see? Your attitude? How about your words? Would it be the same words? Careful, Robbie. Would they see the light
inside of you. Because you're what? You're light. You're not, I mean, you are light. You are, you know what I'm saying? You are what, church? You're light. Would they see that? Would they be drawn to you in a new way? I'm asking you, because this is between you and who? God. Not me, I'm just bringing it out. But I can tell you what I'm feeling. Would they see your light? Would they be drawn to you in a new way? And I wrote how exciting it is when people see me that knew me 30 years ago, said I'm a pastor, and they look at me funny. Really? I said, yep, 11 years at the same church. We got a wonderful church family. Yep, preach the word of God every Sunday. Love Jesus, do the Bible study. I love the God. I failed so many times in my life, but God has lifted me up. God wants me to be a light for him. Hallelujah. So I ask you this morning. Are you ready to give a testimony of this new you? And your bulletin, there's a scripture, 2 Timothy 4:2. It says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. So God is saying, you're the light. Jimmy Howe, are you ready? You gotta be ready. He said, be ready in season and out of season. That's what he's saying to you, because you're a light. Are you ready to give that testimony? If you met somebody that you hadn't seen in 20 years, and you tell them, I go to church every Sunday, I do volunteer work at the church, I love my church family, I read the word of God, I go to Bible study, they'll probably look at you like they don't believe it. Are you ready to give the testimony? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I won't keep you much longer. 11. Verse 11. Here's another one. You see, when I said to you before, David missed it. It said, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, David. People add a word there. People think, for you were once in darkness. The Bible doesn't say in, it says you were darkness. At one time in your life, you were darkness. And I look around this church, and it's hard for me to see that in everybody, so it's a personal thing that you see. But it's not you were in darkness, you were darkness. So it's the next thing, in verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Anybody know anybody that sins? Anybody living in sin? Anybody you don't want to be around? It said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. People mess that up too. Thank you, Lord. But rather expose it. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. And who's the light? Raise your hand, thank you. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he said, he with a capital H refers to Jesus. Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Sounds kind of hard, doesn't it? Well, how do we do that? I got a brother that's sinning. I got a friend of mine that, you know, do whatever, drugs, alcohol, whatever they're poison. Amen? Sounds kind of harsh. Yet I'm a child of light, so I should live like that. Can you? It says in the Bible, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. It does not say not have those walking in darkness. It does not say have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of those who walk in darkness. Oh, wait a minute. I get it now. I don't want anything to do with the darkness that they're walking in, but I have to go to them because I have to give them light. I can go to them. It doesn't say not to have fellowship with those walking in darkness. Amen. You understand? And people read that and they think, I can't talk to my brother. I can't talk to my sister. I can't talk to my friend because they're in darkness. And the Bible says have no fellowship with it. It doesn't say that. It says not have fellowship with the darkness, not the person walking in darkness. Amen. But the Bible said have nothing to do with anybody who's a sinner. How's that going to work out? Think about it.
can't talk to you, you can't talk to me. I have fellowship with Zippy and Lily, have to separate. No fellowship. See, but it doesn't. It says we have an opportunity. Thank you, Lord. And I wrote this. This is, listen. We must always be careful, not of others, ready, but ourselves. Oh, Pastor, really? Are we crossing from light to dark at times? You see, you're looking at the darkness and you're seeing all that, what they're doing. But you've got to go back and look in the mirror. You've got to say, do I do that? So you've got to be careful of yourself first. Are we crossing from light to dark at times? That's between you and God. But we should be aware of how easy it is to slip into darkness. Sinful things. Things that we shouldn't be doing. Things we shouldn't be reading. Things we shouldn't be seeing. Things we all saying. You understand? God is saying that. We shouldn't have any work with that. Anything to do with that. But as a people in light, we should be looking at ourselves first. Our words to others should be gentle yet uplifting. And this is the truth. God cannot bless what is in darkness. Amen? If you're walking in sin, you'll find God's mercy. Amen? How many know that's true? You're walking in sin, He still loves you. He still wants to take care of you. He still wants to lift you up. But you can't receive the blessings that He really wants to give you because you're walking in darkness. And that should be enough to make you say, I want to stop. But see, God cannot bless what is in darkness. We want others to be blessed. If you got somebody in your life, somebody friend, and you want them to be blessed, here's how you do it. Let them know that you're praying for them. Let them know that I'm lifting your name up to God. It's powerful to tell somebody that you care that much. Not in judgment, but in love. I'm not judging what you're doing, but you and I both know what you're doing is wrong. So I'm lifting your name up to God. I'm praying for you. I want you to see that the darkness that you're walking is not going to bless you or bless the people around you. Hallelujah. It's so powerful when you tell somebody you care about that you're praying for them. That you're literally talking to God for them. You went to God. They might not even know what to pray, but you prayed for them. Said, I'm praying for my brother John because I love him and he's a great guy. And he does things in our church. And he doesn't even know I'm praying for him. For him, for his strength, for his faith, for his peace, for his joy, for his marriage, for his family, for his home. You see, that's prayer. So you've got somebody in your life and you know that they're just not right. You've got to be so careful not to slip into darkness because it's real easy to read something you shouldn't, say something you shouldn't, do something you shouldn't. How many know that's true? But see, because you're the light, because you're light, you'll know that. You'll see that if you're walking in the Spirit. That's one reason, church, that I'm not as concerned about why you might miss church. I don't know if you ever heard a pastor say that. Again, this is just my feelings. Somebody's not here on a Sunday or two. I'm not as concerned why you might miss church because that's between you and God. Amen? Between you and God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
If someone does not attend and wants to share with me, I will always listen and say yes. But it's between you and God. Listen, sometimes it might be as simple as being away. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? You might be in Canada next week and you can't come to church.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
They went 5 weeks last time. You might have company come over. Oh, God, they're coming over on the weekend. We can't go to church. I can't bring these people to church. Anybody got family like that? I can't bring these people to my church. I'm not going to let them see this person. So you don't come to church. Company. Maybe you don't feel good. You woke up and you don't feel good. In that case, we need to pray. When you don't feel good, you need to call somebody in the church and say, I'm not coming because I don't feel good. Like David Sergio texted me this morning, said, I'm not feeling good. Other times, it is walking by feelings. Hear this, church, hear this today. Sometimes we walk by feelings, not by spirit. Sometimes we walk in darkness. Not even though we're children of light, we slip into the darkness. walking by feeling, sometimes we forget that this is God's house. This beautiful place belongs to God. Spiritual fellowship heals our hearts. Hearing God's word heals your heart, heals your mind, your soul. It should, when you receive God's word, it should heal you. Hearing the words of God adds faith. Hallelujah. That spiritual fellowship you miss by not coming is so hard on you. When you're fighting yourself, when you're in the feelings and you just feel it, and you know feelings aren't spiritual, and you know God doesn't care about your feelings, it's the spiritual walk, and you know this is His house, and He loves it when you come to visit in His house. And when you walk in the door, you realize this is God's house that you belong to. You belong to it. There's only one being who likes it when we don't come to church, when we walk by feelings. Only one being who thinks it's wonderful if you stay home because you're upset. And you know who that is? Satan, old Slewfoot. He's the only one that rejoices because he knows that if you come to church, you might not be upset anymore. You might feel better. You might not have any fear anymore. Something in your life is going to change and it's going to be better, but you can fight it all you want. How many know people fight good things too? Oh, I'm going to fight this. I don't want to feel good today. Lord, don't heal me today. I'm on unemployment. I got disability coming. I don't want to be healed. 6 more weeks. Hallelujah. I'm going to leave it right there. I got another page, but just want to share with you. I spilled water. Thank you for that. That's all right. I watered the impossible. The imitation flowers got water on it. If that flower starts blooming, I'm telling you right now, if that flower starts blooming, I'm out of here. I'm sitting in a streetcar. I baptize you, church, in the name of God. No, is it we? What is it, Jim? We or I baptize you? I don't want to mess it up. I baptize you. So one more time, being filled with the Spirit of God. How do you do it? The Holy Spirit. You have to be in line with the Word of God. The more you're in line with the Word of God, the more your spirit's going to rise up. To do that, you must understand what the Word of God says. When you understand what the Word says, it brings understanding. When you understand, it comes wisdom. When you have wisdom, it comes blessings. Because you're walking in line with the Holy Spirit. And I'll say one more time, it's when we walk by feelings that we find ourselves struggling with ourselves and those around us. So remember this morning that you came to church and you want to be filled with the Spirit and you want to be imitators of God and you want to help others. You want to help others see God. You want to help others wake up and see God, arise and see God so they will be blessed. That's what you do as a spirit of life. So Lord, remember this is about God, our spiritual life, our attitude, and you and God. Give Him praise this morning. I have to speak at this church in a couple of weeks. You saw it in your bulletin about a man I've never met before. So when I speak in a memorial service or a celebration about a man I never met before, I speak about somebody I know. His name is Jesus. When I speak at that service of people who don't know me, I'm going to talk about the book. I'm going to talk about Jesus. I'm going to give them hope. I'm going to give them what the God Bible says about heaven and about paradise and about life and about being with God. Amen. Because this resurrection, this cross, this Easter, this celebration that we have is the only religion you can find this. The only place I can find to be with my mom and dad someday is through Jesus. Nobody's going to make me go to the left or to the right. I want to follow Him. I want to be as much light as I can. Run away from the darkness because I want God's answer. I want to walk in the Spirit because I want God's blessings for me and for you. Jesus took the bread. He broke the bread and blessed it and passed it to His disciples. And He said, "Eat, for this is my body being torn for you." And He said, "Do this in my name, in Jesus' name." We are the light. Sometimes we fall into that darkness. Sometimes we slip into a dark place, a dark thought. Sometimes we allow that in our lives without even knowing it. So, Father God, this morning, forgive us for our iniquities. Forgive us for every time we turned the wrong direction. We turned left or we turned right when we didn't need to. Forgive us for our words and our attitudes, Lord. Help us to be better, Lord. Help us to be stronger. Help us to be spiritually sound. You forgive us for these, Lord, and we'll take this sacrament of your blood this morning and be healed in our bodies. As you pour the wine into a cup, saying, "This is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins," cleanses us from all our sins. And he said, "Drink and do this in my name, and do this in remembrance of me," in Jesus' name, church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for our healings. Thank you for the love in this church. Thank you for the fellowship in this church. Thank you for the spirit in this church. As we walk stronger in you and want to be part of that light. Thank you for the word of God that directs us and helps us and leads us and shows us, Lord, and the gold that we dig up when we just dig a little deeper and read your word and see what it says for us. It's for us. Those who believe, it's for us. The strength you give us, the peace you give us, the way you change who we are, Lord. We met somebody today we haven't seen in 30 years, Lord. I pray beyond praying that they will see a difference. I know my friends will. And I pray that I'll have the words to direct them to God and preach the word in and out of season and tell them why my life has changed and how my life has changed and the greater things that God has done in my life than I could have ever done for me. Share the beauty and the love of God, leading them to the light so they can be in the light with us. We pray for those and family members who are struggling. We pray for things, Lord, that we see, that we know, Lord, that we just need to pray about and pray about and pray about and give them to you. And then believe that you hear our prayer, Lord. We pray that, Lord. We talk to you. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for everybody in attendance today. For the heart of a pastor is happy this morning, Lord, to see all these people here today to receive. So I pray they receive that. Humbly, in Jesus' name I pray. Give him praise, church. Sergio, we thank you for Bill being a part of this church since day one. We just love him, Lord, and so beautiful to see his smile bringing this offering to his church, where he's been here and kept it open and wants to see it grow and shine, Lord, like we're all praying for this church to continue to grow and shine, Lord, that the people you add to this church, Lord, will be a light. Anybody that you bring to this church, Lord, will be a light to this church. And lift each other up and edify each other in beautiful psalms and singing and praise and praying for one another, what a church does. We know each other in this family, in this fold. We know each other in this church. We thank you, Lord, for this offering. We ask you, Lord, to bless them as only you can do. In the name of Jesus, Father, thank you. And a beautiful day we've been blessed with. Tomorrow's going to be cold, but remember, it's springtime and you live in New England. Enjoy what God has blessed us with. Enjoy the beautiful area around you. Enjoy seeing the trees getting ready to bud, the flowers coming out of the ground. You had nothing to do with that. God is doing it for you. Enjoy that this morning. Brother John with the fly. Zippy.
Yes.
God bless America.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairie, to the oceans, like we fall.
love you. God bless you. Welcome downstairs for fellowship.